All right, so this is week two of Faith and Family Summit. I know Dimmer and I have already mapped out our next 4 weeks and highlighted where we're going to go to, who we're going to see what they're offering. I don't know how I got signed up for this, honestly, but I'm excited about the subject matter. It's been a real challenge, and we've had a lot of fun just reading through and discussing things and feeling challenged by some things for sure. So we'll go through that. But before we dive in, I'll just start with a prayer. Good morning. Dear Lord, we're so grateful to be here. We're so grateful to have a place to come together and gather as a family and just discuss the words that you've presented to us, Lord. We are so grateful for this Bible, this text, this path that you've laid out for us to follow, Lord. We pray that you bless this time, that we can dig up some key things that you wanted to provide to us and lay on our heart today. Lord, we pray that you bless the words that are spoken in this room. Lord, we pray a special prayer for all the families that are represented. Pray that they are being watched over, and if there's any needs that they have, Lord, that we can share those and just support them. Well, we are just so grateful to be your children. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Dimmer and I have it's titled Finding Rest. But our primary source for digging into this was Sabbath. So we did a lot of studying of Sabbath. Can I get somebody to go ahead and pull up Exodus 28 through 11? And I'll have you read that in a second. So today we're going to just kind of dive into what is Sabbath. You know, why is it presented to us? What's the purpose of it? And then we want to spend a little time on how we do it. You know, what does it look like in our daily lives? Where we might be missing the boat? Maybe we're getting it right. These are the kind of things we want to jump into. So if somebody's ready with Exodus 28 through 11.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord, to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your nor your son, nor your daughter, or your manservant, or your maidservant, or your cattle, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, and rested on the Sabbath day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Very good. So, definition of Sabbath, 6 days of labor, 1 day of no work. First of all, 6 days of labor might be another whole class. You know, some of us might need to get a little more productive. But today we're focusing on that concept of break. Where was that we just read from? Does anybody know what? What's going on in that little text? You can look up one or down one. I bet it'll jump out at you. But that is the list of the Ten Commandments. So what we just read was the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments. So Sabbath. Unfortunately, in U.S. culture, there's been a little bit of a view of this is a negative thing. You know, it comes from a very stringent disciplinary faith in the Puritans. You know, it's kind of a list of what you can't do, what you're not allowed to do. It's this that led to what we know as the Blue Laws. So just from culture, I'm kind of take it outside of even the faith, just the overall U.S. culture started to see this as a very negative. You can't do, you can't have fun, you can't, it was a bad connotation from that. All about what's not allowable, very legalistic. I don't think this is what God intended for Sabbath.
And last week, Chuck was talking about he could wash his car, but he couldn't run the lawnmower. But then Charlotte was saying she didn't see it as a negative. She saw it as family time. Everybody came home and nobody worked and, you know, cousins played. And she saw it as a positive where, you know, Chuck's family was more you could do this, but not this, and this, but not this. So it was interesting to talk to all the people who lived through the Blue Laws.
Does anybody have any particular memory or concept from that?
Blue Laws are like, we'll explain that.
Well, Blue Laws were actual state laws of you can't buy liquor before these certain times of the day. There were laws of
no shop.
Like baseball teams had to have their game finished before 6 p.m. on a Sunday night, just things of that nature, where everybody had to obey these laws regardless of your faith. And it kind of comes from this idea of Sabbath, that you take a day off. And so the non-believers for sure were like, this is ridiculous. And then they would see the believers that were, they were kind of wandering around these laws. You know, they didn't work, but they certainly did other things that, seemed to be just as confusing. Mowing the yard or, that kind of thing. It comes down to, are you allowed to go shopping? Were you allowed to even play cards? What was allowable? And
somebody said last week when they started shopping, they felt guilty. Like when they had moved out of the house and they weren't under their parents anymore and they were on their own and they go shopping on a Sunday, they were like, who am I supposed to be doing this for?
I'm going to work on Monday, but is it okay for me to go get gas in my car on Sunday?
Because
that's kind of getting ready for work, right? So this is where
things. So if your donkey's in a ditch, do you
that's right. That's right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nope, you just stay there till tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, the hard part of the Blue Laws is you have the Jews who have Saturday as a Sabbath and the Seventh Day Adventists, and so is it Sunday?
That's a very good point, and that's an ongoing debate as to what day of the week is Sabbath.
Yeah.
Believe how much research is out there when you're told you're going to teach a class on Sabbath and you're trying to do research. I didn't want that website or that website.
Yeah, we're not here to declare any. Yeah. This is the time of day it starts and time of day it ends. But so let's look a little closer into the context of when this scripture was given. So I mentioned this is in the Ten Commandments. So Moses is presenting this to the Israelites, who have been in slavery for 400 years. So they lived their whole life under this Pharaoh that could never have enough. It was all about producing everything he could. And so they worked. There was no break. They worked constantly. If they were awake, they were working. And that went all the way up from not only the slaves, but those that had to control the slaves, all the way up to Pharaoh himself. There was no concept of break. So when the Israelites were receiving this concept of 6 days of work and one day off, it was an amazing gift. And that's really what we want to focus on today, is the gift of Sabbath. It's not a burden that we're faced with. It's freedom. And so that was the idea.
And then fast forward in culture, in the book that Brian got to read about, it said it turned into a class thing. So fast forward past that into the future, and you've got slaves, like plantation slaves and stuff, and only the wealthy people were able to Sabbath. But their slaves, their servants, when you have a house full of servants, none of those servants or slaves got Sabbath, but the wealthy people did. So then it turned into a class thing.
And which, in the text you just read, it gets pretty clear listing out not just you, but
maid servants,
all the way down to your animals and livestock.
Strangers.
Okay, so the other thing I want to look at is where this is placed. Okay, so it's in the middle of the Ten Commandments, so it's number 4 in the list. I'm going to do the favorite. I had to look them up just to remind myself, so I'm going to read them real quick. Here's your Ten Commandments. No other God before me, no idols, do not misuse God's name, remember Sabbath day, honor parents, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not lie, do not covet. So, it's very interesting the way they're grouped. The first three are all about honoring God. It's all about how God is to be treated and held up. And then 5 through 10, the last 6, are all about honoring your neighbor, honoring your parents, honoring the people that we interact with on a daily basis. And you got this one in the middle, number 4, that kind of seems to be its own little thing. So why is that? What's the purpose? Well, first of all, when I saw the grouping of three for God and the last six for our neighbor, that immediately took me to our golden. The greatest commandment is to love God with all our heart and to love our neighbor as we would ourselves. So there must be some purpose for this fourth one that's a little unique. I think it is the way those others are achieved. It is our vehicle to get the others right. I mean, so if you're honoring God properly, you are going to break and you're going to give him, pure focus and the gratitude he deserves. But only if you do that and you're able to break from everything else that's going on in your life. And we're all guilty of trying to fill every second. I mean, I'm the worst. If I have a single second, I'm grabbing my phone and I'm checking to see what's going on. I mean, I have to have every moment filled. But I think this is our vehicle. This is our path to be able to uphold all of these other things we're called to do. When we properly break and have the faith that work is not going to fall apart, if I don't look at it right now, that whatever that is that's calling me away from his attention, to have the faith to set that aside and carve out a very intentional time with him, then it allows us to have what we need, the right kind of perspective to have the desire to go out and care for others and not be so focused on how do I keep this boat afloat? How do I get more? Whatever it is that's driving us to focus on other things. He's laid out a plan for us to intentionally set aside time every week to focus on nothing but him.
And when you do, your heart's prepared to serve other people. I mean, I feel like we fill our time with so many other things. We're creating all these other idols. We're stressed out, so then we go shopping, or there's drugs, there's alcohol, there's food, there's shopping, there's TV, there's entertainment, there's just all this other stuff that fills our time. And as we're busy, if we will stop and put him first, and tell me if this is happening to you, I know it's happened to me as a mom that works. If when I stop and put him first, everything just seems to go a little better that day. He like lays it out because I think Ryan's right. It's my heart is ready for the rest of the day versus me not doing what I know I should be doing and putting him first and focusing on him and honoring him. And then I'm angry that I haven't done that all day and I'm taking it on everybody else,
So Ryan, you don't think that fourth one actually is sort of in recognition of honoring him?
I do feel that it's closely tied to the first three.
Yeah, I think so.
I do too. But I believe it's a stepping stone into preparing ourselves for the last six. And if it's all about, if I can't break away from me or maybe even my family, then you're called to, your neighbor becomes a commodity itself. If I have to have something, then I can take that from my neighbor. I can lie to my neighbor to make sure I get ahead. I mean, so it's this idea of, if I properly honor him and place him in the right place and create time for myself to set everything else aside. And that's the challenge. That hurts me. I mean, this is a real challenge for me to do. There's times when you're checking it off, right? I've done these things that are, they look right, but was my head in the right place? Or was I still contemplating what my next, day looks like, or where the kids need to be moved to from here.
And to your point, some people think it's just an Old Testament thing because it's in Exodus and Jesus, there's other stuff talking about how he's not legalistic about the Sabbath in the New Testament. But Mark 2:2 says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for Sabbath. So God designed it for us to internalize and honor him and focus on him so that we can then be the light to other people, I believe. Instead of it being this legalistic thing.
Sorry, I'm looking up the next verse. It also led me to look up fruits of the Spirit. We recently had classes that gone through Fruits of the Spirit, and you know, one of the questions we all try to figure out is how do I get better at those things? How do I add these different fruits to my life? I think this is it. I think this is our answer. I mean, when you're properly Sabbathing as an individual and as a family, then this is where the fruits get planted during that time. Another piece I wanted to point out was another purpose for Sabbath is to stand apart. As Christians, we're called to stand apart. We're called to look different. And this is where, you know, it gets difficult in our daily lives to make these decisions sometimes. And I'm not the one to tell you what's right and wrong on whether you go take your kid to a ball game on a Sunday or not, or you go to a game. I mean, I can argue both sides. But there are times when we're called to make decisions that don't look like what everybody else is doing. And it's part of the Sabbath. It's if they know that I'm doing this because I need to spend time with my God, that's a purpose for the Sabbath, is for others to see that and see that it's that important to our lives. It's more important than this other decision that I'm setting aside. Another key piece to it is it's just a show of faith. It's so easy to get caught up in it. If I don't do it, it's not going to get done. It's just going to fall apart. Sabbath was during this time, during the original time of Sabbath. I mean, you're harvesting what you need for today, except for the sixth day, you would harvest twice as much. And the way I've read it is you're not working twice as hard on the sixth day to cover for today and your Sabbath day. God was blessing them twofold on the sixth day. They would have twice as much on that sixth day so that the seventh day was covered. So there's this idea of believing he's going to care for you. He's going to provide what you need. And you can show him that faith by setting aside, stopping, pausing, finding rest.
Do you think it meant more to them back then than it does to us today? Because we just go to Sam's, our pantry's full.
Sure.
Right, and then like you said, they didn't have Sam's and stuff like that.
It's very closely tied to harvesting fields and our, you know, their hands going into the dirt and pulling, and we're not doing, most of us aren't doing that today.
It's
the harvest is always ready for me.
Sometimes it's hard to, when you live in plenty without looking, it's hard sometimes for me to really rely and trust on God because I'm not out in the field that day getting food just to survive. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if this is how do we take what it originally was, or I guess how they originally honored or how they originally observed the Sabbath and how we observe the Sabbath today? Does it, because there's culture, like you said, that they didn't know what a day of rest was because they were whipped.
It was foreign to them, for sure.
Well, it's changed now. We talked about last week, like, everything is one get away, everything is relax, massage. You know, Southwest has ads, Calgon has ads, everything is get away, get away, get away, because we're all so stressed. But where are they taking us to? You know, I mean, our friends, except when we say we can't make it because our kid's sick, or we can't come because we're not feeling well. That's just like that's an excuse. That's an excuse. But if you say, sorry, I can't volunteer as room mom this year, or sorry, we can't make it to dinner, we're having a family night, or, you know, it's not as accepted in our culture to say, I'm taking time out every morning, I can't make that meeting, I can't go that, I can't volunteer for that, or whatever, because I'm spending time with God. I'm furthering my relationship with God, and that alone is Sabbath. You know, Sunday doesn't have to be Sabbath. I mean, like Marcus last week, we're like, you're not sinning because you're a doctor and you work on Sunday. That's not the legalistic thing that we think this new culture is. But like Ryan said, we need to stand apart and let other people know we're taking time for God, whether that's a Bible study or family time, or maybe Sunday is your Sabbath day. You know, we went through a period where Sunday was our Sabbath day and no kids would come over, no play dates. And when you say no to everything else, God creates relationships. And like the Samuels last week, when they had to say no to all those electronics, remember their interview with Scott? It's amazing how much they grew in that time because they said no to everything else and created space for God. So, you know, that's our definition of Sabbath. Like Ryan said, we're not the experts on Sabbath. We're all trying to work through it. But there's a lot of reasons that we don't. We're busy. We're afraid. Like Ryan said, we don't trust that God's going to provide. You know, we're afraid that if we stop, then, or if we don't go that, or if we don't volunteer, if we don't do that, and then our fear is, how do we teach our kids to stop, who are even more inundated? Like, our hands aren't in the soil. We've got plenty, but now here's our kids who are growing up in everything is entertainment. Mm-hmm. They can't even sit at the doctor's office and be patient anymore. They have to have an iPad in front of them. So where is their cutoff? Let's just focus on family and God. And when we've sat down and read with our kids and had home church or whatever because somebody's not feeling well, and we read and we say, just be quiet and listen to what God tells you. Well, we did this one Sunday, and my 13-year-old heard beautiful, but she doesn't feel beautiful, so she said it like this. Beautiful? Like, is that really God telling me that? And then our son said, I heard extraordinary. And then Taylor, my 6-year-old, was like, I didn't hear anything. I didn't get it, you know. But, I mean, you're taking time out to really hear what he wants to tell you. And in this world, how do we do that? And so it's just about being intentional.
And how do we pass this on to
Our kids who are even going to be more inundated?
I have on the hunter-gatherer thing, because I'm often trying to go, okay, here I am today. I'm not back then. I'm not an oppressed woman. You know, I've got two businesses. So Ben and I have talked about it. Raking leaves is Ben's Sabbath. We have an acre and a ton of trees. You would think that's labor.
Yes.
But Ben will get out there at 6 in the morning, and he's raking and bagging, and that's his peaceful one-on-one time. Now, someone might look at it and go, you're still laboring.
Sure.
And Ben and I, we're not hunter-gatherers, but our jobs are still providing the results of what a hunter and gatherer would do, so that's how I connect it. And for me, I'm like you. Clients are emailing me all the time because they'll have a need or a thought, and so I have to put my phone somewhere else. I have to really remove it from physical, because it's too tempting to hit the button and go, oh yeah, I'll just take a minute. And so over the years, Ben and I have both realized we do it at different times because his job is 24/7, all because of technology, everybody's on 24/7. So when he rakes leaves, you know, that's his disconnect, or you know, out in the yard. But that's what we still think we're hunter-gatherers, because that's how we provide our food on the table, even though we didn't go kill it.
And imagine what we talked last week, and imagine a relationship where Brian and I, all he ever comes to me and says is, where's dinner? Where are the kids? I'm going to work. I mean, he never says, how are you, honey? What's going on here? He never listens. All he does is come to me with on my knees prayers. You know what I'm saying? There's no respect. It's not a mutual relationship. It's a one-way thing. And so, you know, are we training our kids that that's when we pray to God, is when somebody's sick? Mm-hmm. I mean, even our church is guilty of this. That's really the only prayer request we ever hear. It, you know, it's time for us to take time out and just be with God and tell him, praise him, thank him, and tell him everything on your heart. He knows what's on your heart, but he wants to hear from you. And we're so guilty of just going in our time of need instead of really the respect and that he deserves is taking time away from our busy lives to settle with him. And if that looks like,
and that's what building a relationship looks like.
Building a relationship, and there's seasons of it. So you're single. Your Sabbath is going to look different than our family Sabbath with three kids at home. You're older and your kids are out of the house. Your Sabbath is going to look different. Ryan read a lot of stuff about serving in the Old Testament. You know, it was a time of serving other people. And so, you know, going to autumn leaves or things like that. You know, so it's different seasons. So we have to be a culture of not judging people on, like, they got legalistic. Like, even the Jewish people, they unscrew the light bulb in the refrigerator. Because there's no electricity, no working, no shopping, no cooking, no nothing on Saturday.
Well, and if you haven't been there, there's somebody, if you're observing the Sabbath in Israel, there's a special elevator and a person pushes the button, it's automatic. It stops at every floor so that you don't do any work whatsoever.
It's so, but the anticipation they have for it is what I didn't like the legalistic about the Jewish one. Which we were reading about, but I mean, at 2-3 o'clock, they get off work, they go home, and they're dressed up, they are ready, they're so excited, like
there's some really beautiful
like Jesus is coming to their house, and they are sitting down and they're blessing their kids, and it's pouring into each other, and there is no work, there's no electronics, there's no caffeine, there's no, and you're just like, that anticipation, do I have that for God? When I go to my prayer time, am I saying, I've got 15 minutes before I pick up the kids, this is when I can squeeze it in? I read that. It really didn't sink in. I really just read it just so I can say I did it, close my Bible, and run through the car line. So, anticipation, you know, or even my Seventh-day Adventist friends. I mean, they're serious. They don't do anything on Saturday.
Yeah.
When they come to our work and we have a conference, we have a Sabbath keeper room, they all go, they're praying all day long. There's no work. And I'm like, that is dedication. And I'm just checking it off, you know, in the morning. And so.
Now, I'm one to think, from what I've read, and I may read from Isaiah in a little bit, but I don't think it, if you're Sabbathing, you're calling it Sabbath, and your neighbor is hurting, and you know that, then you're not tending to that situation, I think you're doing it wrong. I think you know, what Sabbath might look like in our daily lives is, you know, I'm on the way to work, I got to get there, and I see somebody with a flat tire. Wow. Am I able to put that in front of what I just had, you know, work-related to get done, you know? If I'm on a, you know, if you're in a business lunch or something and you know, you got some new clients you're talking to and you see somebody in need at another table, are you able to go, excuse me, and go serve and set aside, you know, the work that you're right in the middle of? And that's, I think that's a place that, I mean, I see serving as a form of Sabbath too, and that's showing God that you're putting His children above yourself, you know, and your family and your own needs.
I think, like you said, it ties in. If you're focused on God, then you're going to be focused on how can I serve, because that's what God calls us to.
And your heart is full, mm-hmm. so then you can go give.
Right.
Versus, I'm still not full and I'm running around. Like, I brought all these last week. These are my personal books, which is sad. Running on empty, breathe. I'm not Wonder Woman, but God loves me. Invisible war, you know, spiritual warfare, death, more breaking free, stronger than anything. Mom overboard, one thing at a time, doing 90%. And really, all of those are great, you know, tools, but this is the Sabbath answer. This is the answer. We have a whole world that's all looking to this or entertainment or something else, and it's here. It's just our time with God and whatever that looks like. I mean, it would be really interesting to be in Israel and see that kind of Sabbath, because they put serious thought and serious time into that. And then,
well, like here, some do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some do.
Some do.
Yeah. Some do.
And same here. So here's a scripture that Hebrews, another New Testament reference. So then there remain, Hebrews 4:9-11. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his work, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. You know, and we were talking with Scott and Shelley yesterday. We saw them, and he's like, if you're going to take one scripture out of the Bible, then you better just take it all. And I'm like, well, then it's telling me that I'm being disobedient if I'm not entering God's rest. And that's Hebrews. That's not an Old Testament exit. You know, I mean, God, I think God is serious about having that relationship with us.
So
I'm curious, and just sorry to interrupt you, but
no, please.
Eugenio,
yeah.
How is it if you pray? What is the issue around the Sabbath where your home is? I'm pushing you to speak English.
Yes.
So, we're talking about the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
In Ukraine, what are the issues? What are the problems around people being able to observe the Sabbath? How do they observe the Sabbath?
Maybe 100 years ago, people... it's not Sabbath, it's Sunday.
It's Sunday?
Yes.
Okay.
So people go to church, stay home, stay with kids.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Orthodox church.
Uh-huh.
Right now people go to work, go to shopping.
Same as kids,
yeah. It's not. Day for family, for your rest, and for God.
So you would say it's the same in Ukraine as it is here?
Right now, yes.
Yeah. Does that look down upon, or do they like that? Are they happy that they don't have to Sabbath, or are people saying they want to Sabbath more? Well, like here, you have people that are mad at Chick-fil-A for closing on Sunday.
Right.
And you're like, no, okay,
we
don't care.
Like this.
Okay.
It's like just here. In Ukraine, every store, every restaurant work.
It's all open.
Yeah. I go to work 20 years ago. And Sunday, it's my problem. Mm. You need work. You go work.
Right.
I tell him, I need go to church. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. If you go to church, you fire?
Yeah, fire.
Fire.
Your English is getting pretty good, bud. Yeah, fire's the word.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Today, is it so much, are people allowed to go to church or still fight your fire?
Okay, if you're Christian, many Christians... needs to work, and we don't have many works like you have rest day in Sunday. Yeah.
So every day is a work day.
Yeah.
Every day is a work day here.
Yes, it is. It's very similar.
And I expect everything to be open all the time. When I want it to be open. I'm gonna read from Isaiah 1, 12 through 17. And this is kind of difficult. God's kind of getting on to them for their methods of worship. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you? This trampling of my courts. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations. I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals. I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing work wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. That's pretty harsh. And I think he's coming down on a lot of things. But, you know, their methods of assembling and worship was more pompous and, you know, it was more of a show. And they didn't have their heart in the right place. And I think that's really what we're trying to call is you need to seek for yourself. What does Sabbath mean for you? What does Sabbath mean for your family? How do we intentionally, on a regular basis, declare this is a time of Sabbath. And this is what it looks like for me. And I'm going to work on my relationship with God, and that's going to allow me to have proper relationships with my neighbor.
Further our trust in Him that He is going to take care of us, that we don't have to tend to that. And I would love to hear stories of people when they Sabbath or how they're fitting in their schedules, you know, time with God. I know for me this year I heard say no, so I'm not a room mom this year. I've said no to a lot of stuff. I haven't taught Bible class. I've been in ministry maybe twice. And I've had amazing 45-minute time with God every morning, and it's been so nice to grow with Him, but I've had to say no. It's like always an eek, like, and I feel like I need to make up an excuse of why I can't be there, or tell, you know, because you don't think it's as accepted unless you're talking to a Christian friend, but even then, you're like, no, I'm sorry, I gotta stay home and pray, and they're like, can't you do that later? You know, it's like, but we have reminders on our phone for the, you know, this, we do the laundry every day, but where's our reminder to spend time with God? And so that's our main focus, is to start just Sabbathing, whether it's personal, and maybe our relationship needs a Sabbath. You know, especially with three kids. I know I was guilty of this for many years. I put the kids first over everything, and Ryan felt like chopped liver. I mean, it was like the kids came totally first. And then I didn't realize that, like, oh, we need to show our children that this relationship is important, and we need a Sabbath. And so now our relationship has completely transformed in the last 2 years. of just honoring my husband and Sabbathing with him, you know? So I mean, it was Saturday night, we were in bed, 8 o'clock last night. We were like, are we fuddy-duddies? Because we're so excited to be in bed at 8 o'clock on Saturday. But it was like, we barely get to talk during the week, you know? We're high-fiving out the door and this way and that. I mean, y'all are saying you got 3 kids, 3 sports.
No, we were there too.
Okay. Oh, good. Okay.
Not there. It was crowded. Yeah. It was crowded.
But yeah. So, you know, our thing is just find your time to Sabbath. Because there's 49 Bible verses on rest, 78 Bible verses on Sabbath day, and 21 about entering God's rest. And He tells us to come to Him when we are weary and burdened, but do we? Unless we need something.
I think what that scripture that Ryan read, I think is fascinating. The most patient, loving thing that exists has been burdened by their legalism. So sometimes I'm thinking, Sabbath, we gotta go to church. You're just like, what is it? Sabbath breaks. Why? You know, and then towards the end of that, it's basically saying, love your neighbor. How, you know,
that's exactly right.
What I want to do, don't just observe the Sabbath. Do what I want you to do.
But we had talked about it at one of the other churches. It's like, okay, is it you're going to church and you see somebody on the side of the road that has a flat tire? Is church more important, or is it the service? That is the why am I going to church? To learn how to serve others, and what is.
That's right.
Which is it, the legalism? If I'm not there, they're gonna, you know, or is it okay? This is God has put this person here, and I need to take care of it.
That's so true. And even our kids, like I remember one weekend, they were like, "Can we have home church tomorrow?" And we're like, you know, no, we gotta go to church, you know. And then we're like, oh, but they like that time with us, with God and reading. And we're like, are we not doing that enough? We're not doing that at the dinner table because we're high five on the way to games, and so it's like they want that time, and they. What's more important? Do I need to bring them and in the aisle or sit with them? And so I told us we need to do that outside of this time, you know. So it's interesting. So Sabbath is make it what you want. You know, we're not the experts on it, but there's certainly some Old Testament and New Testament verses. There's words like disobedience. There's words of, you know, He'll give us rest if we come to Him, and I think we should.
We need to break. Okay. Thank you all for being here. I'll just close with a quick prayer.